Paul Conyers is a stand-up comedian who is coming to town for the Moon Tower Comedy Festival Saturday, April 20th for Nate Jackson's Overlooked at Cap City Comedy Club. It's a 10 p.m. show. Go to capcitycomedy.com for tickets to that one. And Paul is now nice enough to join me to talk about that and his new special called Should Have Stayed Downstairs, which you can find at his website, paulconyers.com. Paul, thank you so much for the time. How are you doing today?
I am I'm doing okay. I'm a bit of a nervous wreck. I'm a diehard Sacramento Kings fan, and we have a loss to the Warriors coming up in about 8 hours. So just waiting for Steph Curry to take us behind the barn and shoot us again, and then I can finally get back to normal life.
That's right. We're recording this on Tuesday the 16th. It's going to air on Wednesday the 17th. But let's go ahead and start there because you've got to keep
Jersey on. Everyone's watching this. It's like watching a dead man that just doesn't know it yet.
Exactly. You got the Kings jersey on. You got the De'Aaron Fox jersey hung up behind you. I can't see who is.
Over there. That's Bumgarner holding the 2014 trophy when he carried the Giants to a championship. That's my signed De'Aaron jersey, and there's a Threat Level Midnight movie poster, Michael Scott. So, that pretty much sums up my personality in like one wall.
I guess I should let people know right now that you are a former basketball player, played in high school, played in college a little bit, apparently trained with some future professionals as well, as our mutual friend let me know a few hours ago. for people who are unfamiliar, what exactly was your basketball career, Paul?
So I played in college at the now closed Holy Names University. It was a lovely Catholic school on top of the hills in the nice part of Oakland that it closed down last year. Didn't know that schools could do that, but it's fine. I do comedy, so my communications degree was worthless anyway, but it would have been nice. It would have been just nice to know. I actually, weirdly enough, I didn't even play high school basketball. I kind of got into the sport. Like I was a big fan of it, watching it, but I didn't really get into playing it until like late junior year. And then I was like, man, I love this shit. So I just worked my ass off to try to try out for the team. I was like, I mean, I'm 6'7". So I had that. I was like, but in my senior year, I think it was like 6'5". I weighed about 12 pounds. So it was not like a good 6'5". You know what I mean? It was like a bend them in half kind of 6'5". Yep. If you have to. So I got cut, but I just kind of stuck with it. And yeah, I just like really loved the game, and I was playing 6-7 days a week. And then I got lucky. I got an offer from a couple spots, and Holy Names was like the best thing that could have happened to me. So yeah, that was cool. As far as like training with NBA stars, that's really more a happenstance thing. My buddy, who also played at HNU with me, a good dude, his name is Coach Packy Turner. He's trained Steph. He's Aaron Gordon's trainer. So yeah, he's had me like be a body to get dunked on by some guys like a couple times, which is super fun. But no, had nothing to do with my prowess or anything. It was just like, hey, I need a 6'7" guy with no self-esteem that's just going to stand there and let my guy put his armpits in the rim above him.
You cannot underestimate getting dunked on by a future NBA pro, because I went to Texas Tech for a year and a half and would occasionally play pickup against the Red Raiders players who were there at the time. One of those was Tony Battee. Another one was Trey Young's dad, Rafer Young.
And oh, yeah.
At one point, it was a two-on-one break with them being the two and me being the one on the other team. I willingly stood, like, tried to jump on Tony Battee, who was receiving this alley-oop, just so I could run back down the court saying, I got dunked on by a future lottery pick.
Hey, all right. It's a memory. It's something, man. The guys that dunk.
You could dunk pretty easily, correct?
I mean, you kind of have to, yeah. At this point, it's mostly physics. Like, there's not a whole lot of athleticism to it. If you can dunk at 6'7", I mean, your knees are either shot or, you know, you should probably get some mobility going.
So you are 6'7", and that works to your advantage at certain times, but it also works to your disadvantage at other times. When is it the worst to be the tallest guy around, Paul?
I mean, like the every day of my life since I've quit basketball, it sucks, man. It's awful. Cause I mean, first of all, yeah. I mean, I would take your pick. Can't find clothes that fit. Got to get everything online. I mean, I always say, like, being really tall, it is like the lowest form of celebrity on the planet, because people will stop me and like, I'm sorry, I hate to bother you, but do you play basketball? Blah blah. And then like, and then I have to like disappoint them, and they're like, "Whoa, do you play basketball?" I was like, "Yeah, I played in college." They're thinking like Kentucky or some blue chip school, and I'm like, "Oh, I played at this NAIA school in Oakland that doesn't exist anymore." And they're like, "What did I stop you for, man?" I'm like, "I don't know. You stopped me. I don't. Shit, I didn't ask you to." Yeah, that
Are
those.
they just pro athlete hounds or something? That's ridiculous.
It is. It's very odd. It's very odd. And then like, people don't believe me. That's a weird one. Like, they don't believe me, or they're like, you sure? You sure? And like, I had a guy. I was at a show. I was at a show last week, and the guy was like, he's like, "You're not real. Are you sure you're not 7'2"? I was like, "Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm not 7'2". I don't play for the Suns, and I'm not knuckle deep in an IG model. I'm fairly certain I'm not 7'2". And then he like got out his driver's license, and he was like, "See, it says I'm 6'8", and you're taller than me." I was like, "Dude, like, you could say anything at the DMV. They do not care."
Oh, you had another fairly tall guy arguing with you about this.
Oh yeah. He was, he was a good like 6'4", 6'5". He was sure he wasn't 6'8". But yeah, no, that's like, yeah, a lot of tall guys want to argue with me because I'm honest about my height and they're not. So like, they'll like be with their girl or something and be like, "You come on, you at least 6'9", because I'm 6'4". I was like, "Buddy, you are not 6'4". Like, I was like, "Lady, he's lying to you. He is full of shit. He's not 6'4".
So
Yeah, that's.
it's like an extension of the big dick competition. It's big stature competition.
Yes, it, yeah, it's big height energy, man. It's so weird, It's like, yeah, I see why DeSantis wears those shoes now. It's becoming clearer and clearer every day.
So the worst that I feel for tall people when I see them out and about and them being an unintentional burden on everybody else is at concerts. Because unless you stand at the back of the room, you're going to be
Yeah.
pissing at least one or two people off who can't see the stage as a result of you just trying to enjoy the show.
Yep. I just stopped going. I just said, it's fine. I'll just play it on my iPhone. It's just as good. Yeah, no, unless I'm at like an amphitheater where it's like a hill where the people above me are like, yeah, then it's like, I don't even want to go. I didn't want to bother you. So,
Oh, that's such a bummer.
it is. And like, yeah, sometimes I like crouched down one time, but I was like, this isn't fun for me. I'm here to see the Backstreet Boys, damn it. So, I just had to go for it.
Did you
But yeah.
PTSD of having to get back into defensive stance during
Yeah,
college and high school
exactly. Dude,
practice?
yeah, I know. I mean, that's a cool thing. You get a good quad workout, at the concert. You're just like standing in the defensive stance the whole time.
Exactly. So, you are Bay Area based now, but I heard you say in another interview that the first time you performed out of state was here in Austin. And I think you said that back in 2019 or 2020. So, what were the circumstances surrounding you leaving Cali to come perform stand up here in Austin, which in the last couple of years, of course, has become a sort of stand up mecca in this country?
No, I really had my finger on the pulse. I just knew that it was coming. No, I honestly, like, that was when I did stand up like right out of college, like two times. I had like the worst bombing of my life, and so I quit. I don't know if you
So
can
this
call
is
it
back in 2010, right?
back in 2010. Yeah, I don't know if you can call it quitting after two shows. But anyway, I had the worst night of my life, bombed my absolute ass off in front of 400 people. And then, yeah, so I quit for 6 years, kind of got back into it. And
Oh,
then
hold on one sec. 600 people, you said?
about 400. Yeah. I
400?
had
Were
no
you
business
opening for
being on.
somebody big at like Cobb or something? I don't even know. That may be more people than Cobb holds.
Cobb's could hold, I think when the balconies open, it could hold like 400. I think this was at the San Jose Improv. So I kind of like, I did this new talent showcase at this other club here in the Bay called Rooster Teeth Feathers, and it went well. And then this like friend of a friend knew this really great comic who's now a good friend of mine and a mentor. His name is Kabir Singh, and he's done a bunch of amazing things. He's killing it all over the country. But he's just also the nicest guy ever. So this friend told him, like, oh, you should put this new guy on. And he was like, yeah, sure, come to the improv. Like, I'm doing a show. And I went. It was just, the moment was just way too big for me. I bombed my ass off, did everything wrong you could have possibly done. That's a whole 20-minute diatribe. But
were you trying new material? You weren't going with the
yeah, did all new stuff. Didn't go to a mic between the two shows that I'd been on. Just thought I was hot shit. I thought, you know, since I crushed the first show, you know, that I was just like God's gift to comedy. So I just thought I'd go up there and like just kind of wing it, you know, just have fun. And no, actually, ironically, this was in October of 2010. And it was game two of the Giants World Series against the Rangers.
Yeah.
They were playing while I was on stage. And I mean, I'm just like bombing my absolute ass off. Nothing is working. And then people started getting alerts on their phones that the Giants had actually won the game, like in the moment, like while I was on stage. So people like someone stand, Giants won. Everyone's like high-fiving and hugging and stuff. And they're having a great time. And then they slowly like remember that like I've created this like hell for them. And they're like, oh God, that's right. He's here. And so they had to like kind of like calm down and then I just had to continue bombing for like another 5 minutes or something.
Oh my God. That must have been going in slow-mo for you at a certain point.
It was. I actually, at one point, this is just the coup de grace, just the absolute icing on the cake was I actually stepped on the mic cord and kicked it out from the microphone. And I've never plugged a microphone into I mean, obviously now, like if you've done it now, you can do it in your sleep. You just line up the three prongs, you press the button, you know, whatever. But this may as well have been like, you know, programming a space shuttle. And so I was just like, my hands were trembling. And I mean, I remember it taking about 40 minutes. I think it took about 12 seconds or something. But yeah, I mean, so yeah, it literally could not have gone worse. So yeah, that was enough to make me quit for 6 years. So then I kind of got back into it. And actually on my first night back, I ran into Kabir at the mic that I went to, and I was like, you don't remember me, but 6 years ago you invited me to a show. I bombed my dick off. And he was like, oh, well, hey. He's like, I'm doing this Halloween show here. It's going to be packed. If you can go to 5 open mics between now and then, I'll put you on the show. And I had already planned to go out to visit our mutual friend, Robbie, in Texas. So I was like, all right, I'll go to open mics in Austin. So yeah, that was like the first time that I did comedy outside of California was at some shitty mics in Austin.
Do you remember where you were going for open mics?
Yeah.
Even though Austin has gone to a different level because of Rogan's Place and the Helium people coming in and doing a great job reopening Cap City, Austin always has been a good comedy town. It's always had that reputation.
It has
been. National comedians. It's a great place to come do stand up.
Yeah, no, it has. So I knew I wasn't going to like Omaha, Nebraska or something. Like I knew there was an actual scene there. So yeah, no, I went to, I think it's called Cherrywood
Tavern.
Yeah, I think that's it. I did that one. Kick Butt Coffee. I remember that. Actually, I can tell you exactly where I went because I keep a log of every stand-up set I've ever done in my life. So I can, if I just go back to the very beginning, Cherrywood, Kick Butt Coffee. Do you guys have something called Stomping Grounds? Is that you guys?
Yeah, it's funny because there are a lot of comedy open mics that even, again, prior to the last 2 or 3 years that were happening in coffee shops. I don't know if that's the thing everywhere, but here a lot of coffee shops do the open mic thing and it turns into a stand-up comedy jam.
Yeah. They do. I don't know about Austin, but like in the Bay Area, anytime there's like an open mic and it, you know, they want like music and spoken word and poetry and comedy, like the 40 comics descend on it. And so they're like, all right, 4 comics per show. Cause we just like ruin it and take it over with our unfunny shit. So
do we really want somebody doing spoken word instead of somebody rolling out material that's not that funny? I would rather watch somebody bomb than somebody taking themselves entirely too seriously, Paul.
That's a fair point. That's a good question. Like, what would you rather see? Like really shitty comedy or just really, really like boring spoken word, someone that's taking themselves way too seriously? I don't know. I mean, I'm inclined to say I want to watch bad comedy, but even me, like after like the 10th dude doing like an ass eating joke that's just not
Yeah.
landing. You're like, whoa, I guess you guys too sensitive. I mean, that's always fun. It's like, yeah, it's their fault, dude.
Oh God, I was at one of those. This is a few years ago, and it was somebody who had no business opening for some other comedians. She was like, "What? Too soon? Too soon?" I'm like, "No, nobody understood your reference. You just
Yeah,
tried to be way
right.
too esoteric for even the
Yeah.
supposed smartest person in the room, dumb dumb."
Yeah, exactly. No, we have a thing called bombing with dignity. You're gonna bomb, but you need to do it with grace and not blame the audience and just take your licks, It's like when you like a batter strikes out for the fourth time in a game, he doesn't, like if you throw your bat in the crowd, he's like, I couldn't even see the baseball with the pitcher, blah, blah, blah. It's like, dude, no, you had a bad game.
Own it.
Steph has bad games. I'm hoping to God he has one tonight. We all ha It happens to the best of us.
So you get back into stand up in 2016. Here we are, almost a decade later, 8 years later, and you're taking part in Moon Tower Comedy Festival, doing something at Vulcan Gas Company on Friday night. Robbie and I have actually seen a show there before. And then
Oh,
Saturday, you
nice.
are going to be at the completely revamped Cap City, which I believe you were at last fall too. So you're familiar with those surroundings. I'm
I've
excited
never been
for
to Cap
it.
City, actually.
What's that?
Cap City, the only one I was at Cap City like back in 2017, just at their open mic, and I think that was a different location, right?
It was a different location. Where were you in the
Yeah.
fall, though? Because I remember Robbie talking about going to see you perform.
Yeah, I did a couple shows at Creek in the Cave, and then
Okay.
I did Cherrywood again, which actually was just kind of cool because it was like, wow, I haven't been, this is like the first place I did like an open mic out or a show outside of California, and
Yeah.
now I'm back. Did equally bad, weirdly enough, but yeah, and then where else was I? I can't remember. I'm blanking right now. But yeah, no, I got to do Creek in the Cave Cable Club. Oh, and Roscoe's Comedy Club, which was like a much smaller club, like downtown. But it was still fun. We still had a good time. So yeah, just a couple spots like that.
What'd you think of Creek in the Cave? I call that the CrossFit gym of comedy clubs in Austin.
Yeah, I mean, I love the space. I really do. It's I mean, and I saw Gillis's YouTube special there, which was amazing. We had a slightly smaller audience than he did, I'll to put that kindly.
I think it's going to be a pretty good crowd for the Cap City show on Saturday. It is Nate
I
Jackson,
will.
Overlooked. You're a part of the bill. And
Yeah.
Nate, I don't know if he's going to be introducing everybody, but he's obviously going to finish the night off as well. Is Nate somebody that you knew previously, or is this just a matter of Moon Tower pairing you guys up together?
Yeah, never met him. Actually, so my home club in Sacramento, Laughs Unlimited, my favorite place to do comedy on the planet, the owner actually gave Nate my contact info. So he reached out to me. I was actually working a cruise ship. I have no idea how the call came through because I was in the middle of the ocean. And he was like, yeah, it's Nate Jackson. I was like, oh shit. And he was like, you booked on April 20th? And I was like, yeah, man, I'm supposed to be on the East Coast for some shows. And there was like a pause, and he was like, are you sure you can't cancel that? He was kind of like, dude, this is a very big deal that I'm inviting you to. And I was like, yeah, all right, I'll make it happen. So and it was fine. Once I told the club that it was, Moon Tower and it was Nate Jackson, they were like, yeah, okay, you got to go to that.
So you are a
Yeah.
49ers fan, as we talked about at the very beginning of this conversation. Y'all come just short from winning another Super Bowl this year. Unfortunately,
Yeah.
Pat Mahomes, even if the Chiefs don't seem like they're that good in a given season. Are you convinced that Brock Purdy is y'all's guy, is the guy who can and will lead you to the promised land before it's all said and done?
I mean, first of all, elite QBs, they don't like grow on trees, like the all year, all the stupid pundits in the morning shows like, yeah, but is he Patrick Mahomes? It's like, no, and no one else is. So what do we all do? Do we all just like quit because we don't have Pat Mahomes? So, I mean, he's not that. I get that. I mean, and I don't know if, 10 years down the road, he's ever going to be in the conversation of the Pat Mahomes or Tom Brady's or anything. But no, I think that the growth that he showed this year was fantastic. I think that the stats bear out that he's more than just working with some amazing talent around him, which he is, you know, for sure. But, you know, I made a video, this reel that just kind of satirized the hate that guy gets, where it was like, you know, like no other player or no other quarterback has receivers that run after the catch. You know, it's just like every time like a player would do something good, they'd be like, see, that's why. It's like, okay, well, you know, I'm sorry that CMC doesn't like collapse onto the ground after he catches the ball. Like if he runs for an extra 15 yards, you know, that's fine. But yeah, no, I like him. I think he's great. I mean, it's great when you got a guy that's got a great head on his shoulders. Like, you know, you're just never going to deal with any nonsense from this guy. I'll knock on a big old piece of wood there, because I was the one campaigning to trade our draft picks to get Deshaun Watson a few years ago. And I'm glad that did not work out. But yeah, I mean,
so, no, there's so many rub and tugs in San Francisco, though, Paul.
I know, you know, that's funny. It's like the Giants are like, man, we can't get anyone to come play for us because the stigma about San Francisco. Dude, Deshaun Watson would probably come here as a backup. I think he would come here on a discount, man. If we send him into the heart of San Francisco to the massage parlors in Chinatown, I mean, that dude could, you know, he could clean up pretty well.
He'd probably be willing to do some human excrement tracking for the online map that warns people where the most human shit is in the city.
Exactly. Which I hear, you know, some parts of Austin, you guys are trying to make your own way too.
It gets a little bit ugly at times. And city officials several years ago did try and send us straight down the San Francisco Portland route. But even liberal progressive Austin, when given the opportunity on a ballot, which required a bunch of signatures for them to be able to vote on, when they had the opportunity to overturn that and say, actually, this is bad for everybody, from those who are homeless to those who are tax-paying citizens who are trying to do things right. This sucks for everybody except for you city officials. You just get to sit there and throw your hands up and say, well, we're trying to give outright freedom here. Even liberal Austin overturned that. So it certainly has its ebbs and flows, but it's thankfully not heading down the road of the Seattle's, Portland's, and San Francisco's, and I guess Los Angeles's too.
All right. Well, that's good. If you can keep your head above water, then or I don't know if water is the element that you're trying to avoid, but
you're in probably.
Yeah, if you can do that. Yeah, probably.
All right, Paul. So people can check you out at Cap City Comedy Club on Saturday. It's a 10 p.m. show with Nate Jackson, and they can connect with you on social media and watch your most recent special at your website, paulconyers.com. The new special is Should Have Stayed Downstairs. Thank you so much for the time today, and safe travels to Austin here in the next couple of
days. Thank you, brother. Yeah, look forward to seeing you at the show. Thanks for having me.
Thanks to Gentleman Jesus for the intro and outro music. Hear more of his work at gentlemanjesus.com. And thanks to you for hanging out. For more of the show and to connect on social media, visit booksonpod.com. Talk to you next time on Books on Pod.